What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 264, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. It was just on Amazon.
Clicked buy, and it will be here Friday.
Oh,
just
nice.
Bought a camera lens while we were on the countdown, so...
Yeah, it's all a good deal, and you just jumped on it.
I did.
So yes, everybody, welcome to the podcast. How's the weather there? Because today
I was going to bring that up.
It was so nice outside. I could walk outside in a t-shirt. I took the dog for a long walk. It was very, very.
I think you got our weather from yesterday. Like earlier, it's been raining off and on. Like I don't know, last couple days and last weekend. The weekend was actually pretty nice. Yesterday, I was outside, shorts and a t-shirt, doing stuff out in the yard and everything. It was snowing when I drove home from work today.
Snowing.
It was it was kind of rainy all day, and then it started to slush snow.
Ugh.
Which, if you've ever had that, it's just
it's
the worst. Fun. It's not ice, but, and then it was snowing.
That's the one thing that I'm not going to miss at all when I move is not having snow. Or any of that, or even your car just gets destroyed with all that slush, and then they put salt down, and then after they put the salt down, the roads are all destroyed, so you have potholes everywhere. That's one thing that I'm just not gonna miss at all. But yeah, everybody, welcome to our podcast.
Says hello in the chat.
Who does? Didn't pop up.
Old man.
Oh, what's up, old man? There it goes. It kind of just popped up all at once. It's weird. Hopefully I'm not lagging. But old man is in the chat. If you are in the live chat, go ahead and say what's up. Ask questions. Talk to us. It's what this live stream, of course, is all about. And if you want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that you guys can just go in. It's in the description of the video, wherever you're watching this. And you can see everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And we have some really interesting products. Some other interesting news items as well to get to. So let's jump in and we'll talk about what was launched this week. Well, yeah, I guess officially launched. I mean, it was officially announced, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, pretty recently.
Was AMD's Radeon RX 6700 XT. I had the chance to review one and I actually like it. It's the first 6000 series graphics card that I've had the chance to review, so I didn't get a 69 or a 68 XT or a 6800, but now I got a 6700. So and just like last generation, I said AMD was competitive. They were competitive even though last generation was only up to 1440p. They were competitive. I would say they're competitive again. And now with the 68 and 6900, you have it across the board, which typically leads to better prices and typically leads to more features being brought into both sides so they can compete against each other. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah. In normal times. Yeah. That's
in normal times. Before you guys yell at me, I know you probably won't be able to buy this card. I'm sure it's sold out already. But we'll talk about it because I think it is 6700 XT is a good card for what it is. So I took a look again at MSI's Gaming X card. That is going to be their flagship, for the 6700 series. They decked it out with their dual Frozer 8 cooling solution, which is a dual fan cooling solution. If you're familiar with MSI and their Gaming X cards, it has the same Gaming X look. Both their dual Frozer and their tri-Frozer have basically the same overall look. With the AMD cards, though, they have the little silver accent here. I think on the NVIDIA cards, it's just all black. So you have the little silver accent on the shroud. Two cooling fans. These cooling fans are their Torx 4 fans. You can see that the actual fan blades are joined together. Every two fan blades are joined together. That's going to allow more air to flow down into the, or direct more air to go down into the cooling solution, which is a pretty beefy dual heat sink, multiple heat pipe cooling solution. And a full cover backplate, and this is not their graphene. I know everybody gave MSI shit about, about their graphene, which was supposed to be, which was essentially plastic that had cooling properties, which again people gave them shit for. So this is all aluminum, MSI logo on the back. As far as power, you're getting 2 8-pin PCI Express power connections. On the main side here, MSI logo, which does light up with RGB lighting. Little Radeon logo, which does not light up. It's just like this off black. And then as far as the lighting on the card, you can see you have like these little accents here and here on the front part of the card. And then again, that MSI logo on the top. So yeah, it's like a good, like I said, it's that key. I think with a lot of companies now, they have like their flagship card in. For the most part, generation over generation, it's going to look very similar, right? Yeah. It's going to have that same look. And this card has the same look. The one thing that's nice about this card is that it's not super long. So it's only 279 millimeters. Most mid-tower cases support 300 at their smallest end. Most of them actually support a lot longer than that. But this is going to fit in pretty much any mid-tower. It is about 2.7 slots. So if you look at this, you can see that it's about 2.7 slot card. So keep that in mind when it comes to, you know, configuring your system. Prane is in the chat. Is that how you say that? Prane?
Not sure.
But what's going on? Thanks for saying hi in the live chat. And then as far as performance goes, so AMD basically coins this as their 1440p card. They said this is the ideal card for 1440p, and I would agree with that. You guys can check out the review or the video. We have a video on this as well on the channel if you want to check it out. I can scroll through all these, but we'll go to 1440p because I think it's what most of you guys would probably be interested in. So 1440p testing, again, Ashes of Singularity is like an anomaly because it just is. I don't know why we test all these cards and just it's an anomaly. But if we go to any of the other titles that we tested, Borderlands, you can see it actually beats the 3070. Borderlands is more AMD focused. So you're going to see that. If we go to Far Cry New Dawn, you know, it sits under a 2080 Super by 1 FPS. 3070 beats it by about 10 FPS in Far Cry New Dawn, but very close. In Metro Exodus, you can see it's right behind the 3070 and right above the 2080 Super. And Shadow of the Tomb Raider, again, right behind the 3070 and right above the 2080 Super. And then Wolfenstein Youngblood, you can see it's, you know, right below the 3070, right above the 2080 Super. And that's kind of where it sat through all the tests.
Right
and,
in between there, yeah.
And you can see in a lot of these tests, everything is over 60 FPS and well above 60 FPS, like Far Cry New Dawn, 109, you know, Borderlands, 81. Like you're getting, you're, this is not just getting over 60 FPS, say like a 3060 would, you know, this is going into the more 80, 90, 100 FPS with everything turned all the way up on these titles. So that means that one, if you were wanted to do 4K, you could do it and you wouldn't have to turn things down so much. And two, if you were gaming in 1080p, this could easily be that, you know, card for 144Hz monitor. You could do that both ways. So I think, again, it's like it's that ideal 1440p card that does give you a little future proofing with the 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory on there. And it's a higher performing 1440p card than, again, like a 3060. It's around the same performance as a little bit better than a 2080 Super, a little bit under a 3070. That's kind of where it sits, I would say. And with that, the card itself, AMD's MSRP is $479. 3070 MSRP is $499. So it's competitive. It's priced correctly, I would say, for what it is. The problem with this card, and I said it in my video and I said it in the review, the problem with the MSI card is the MSI card is $789. That's That's a lot. $310. It's
not
a typo.
You're not misspeaking. That's
yeah.
It's a huge premium.
One, MSI tells us that that's because of the tariffs in the United States. Sure, maybe. But at the same time, $789 is more expensive than a 3080 Founders Edition if you can find one. I know you probably can't find one. There's probably you can't find one, but if you could, this is priced the same price as a 3080, which completely blows this card out of the water. So it's like, I understand paying a premium for these aftermarket cards. You get a better cooling solution. This card's factory overclocked. You get that, but that is not worth $310. It's just not. Even with the tariff, it's not.
What stinks is we don't have a reference board, right, for these cards. So MSRP is just like, I don't even know why they I don't know. It's tough to have an MSRP when you don't have a card directly from AMD. You know what I mean? Because who's selling a card at MSRP or one close to it? Nobody.
Yeah. And sorry if I butcher your name, but Prane says it's crazy how GPUs can be marked up by retailers that much. It's like how the 3060s were. It takes it out of the picture for most people. And the thing is, it's not even the retailer. This is the pricing from MSI. And again, I know that this tariff thing might be like, this is kind of like really where we're seeing it, because we didn't see it on the 3080 and the 3070 that much. You know, because NVIDIA didn't put a tariff on their Founders Editions for the 3080, 3070. Right. Like, you know, I honestly think this is what I think it is. I think that one, the GPU market is horrible. There's not enough chips to go around. There's just not. So demand's insanely high. So with the demand being insanely high, you have scalpers and these prices and people buying cards for insane prices because they want a new computer or they want a new graphics card. Yeah. Then you have this excuse of this tariff thing, and then you have companies being like, well, we can price this crazy because people are going to buy it.
Yeah, they want them so bad. Some people want to build something so bad that they'll fork out.
Yeah, so I just can't recommend this card at this price. I just can't. It just, because there could be some weird day. There's like sites that you can go on where like Best Buy gets a 3080 Founders Edition in, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you end up with that.
Yeah.
Or you buy this and then the next day that other card is in stock and you're like, wow, I just spent the same amount and got so much less performance.
I understand paying a premium, and a lot of times we have seen before the tariff, we have seen premiums up to over $100 without like it being like a water cooled card or something like that. And again, it makes sense. But this card is gonna perform 3 to 5% better than a reference non-overclock card. It is going to be quieter with it. It is a great cooling solution. It's one of the best cooling solutions out there, but $310 just doesn't, I just can't, it's a 60. I think I put in the review, it's a 64% price increase. You know, it's not, you just can't, I don't know what to say, because I like the card. Like I like MSI's version of the card. But I could never recommend somebody paying $789 for it. But I guess that's the market that we're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so tough because, you know, with an MSRP of $479, you know.
I mean, they're not the only one doing it, though.
Yeah,
right?
They're not like, the only one doing it.
Asus cards, $800.
Yeah.
So
but like I could see this like even for like $539, even $100 more, I'd be okay with.
Sure.
Given, you know. So it's just I just can't recommend it for $789. I know that that's how much these are gonna cost, but it's like and I know that just like you said, like that MSRP might be some magical MSRP that they just came up with. So
you have to have an MSRP,
so, right? So they appear competitive, right?
Right, exactly. Because they know. I don't know. Yeah, it sucks. It's a horrible position for consumers right now to be in.
It's
right?
Just because, like, when the NVIDIA 30 series came out, we were like, holy shit, we're getting insane performance for basically price, half the price. And then obviously, like, what's the, I mean, obviously we had the tariffs come in, and if you're in the US, and then you had no availability, which meant that it's like, this is the same thing I said, there's all these factors coming into it, and it's just like, it's just so sad because I want people to get these cards. I think this is a great card. Like,
mm-hmm. It's a great card at the MSRP or slightly above for an aftermarket card, but
yeah,
not the 300 and X amount of dollar
market. Yeah. Oh, one other interesting thing about this card, and I did test it. So we have a 5700 XT here. This is a 6700 XT. In all the gaming tests, the 6700 XT beats the 5700 XT, so it's a more powerful card. But in cryptocurrency mining, Ethereum, it's actually slower. So if you were a miner and like you're solely mining, that's like all you're doing, it's probably going to be easier to find a 5700 XT than these new cards. So buy the 5700 XT because it doesn't perform better in mining. That was just weird to me. It's like, I don't know why. I don't know if like the algorithm's not like, I don't know. I don't know how all that works, but I did test it and it actually was slower. So
by quite a bit, or
so the 6700 XT gets around 47, 48. I don't know what MHS is. That's like mega hashes, whatever. And the 5700 is around 52 to 53. So not much difference, but it should be faster because it's a faster, it performs better in gaming. You know what I mean? So there's more horsepower there.
Okay.
Yeah. Old man said gigabytes. Yeah. Gigabytes 3080 gaming OCS. Jeez. And what's the MSRP on the, on it's $799 or wait, no, $699. $699 is the founder's edition.
Right. Let me find it. Hang on. For a 3080.
Yeah.
3080, $699. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. It's crazy. And it's like, okay, is because when this, when the initial price, when the initial, like, we, there's no cards available, we thought it was like because of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. That was like, made sense, like supply chain problems.
Sure.
Are we, I mean,
are we still facing,
like, yeah,
everybody's back to work, right? Like, did the industry really shut down and we're still feeling the,
I think a lot of it has to do with like stuff, a lot of chips on the AMD side. I know a lot of the chips are going to, like, so like 7 nanometer, all their stuff's on 7. All that stuff is going into new Xbox and PlayStation, as well as the desktop chips. So there's like, I've heard stories where there's like no chips, like there's anywhere, like no 7 nanometer GPU chips, like anywhere. You know, so on that side, and then, yeah, but it's like, again, like we're past, at least hopefully we're past all of this stuff. So yeah, well, it's March. When we said this, like maybe a couple months ago, we're like, when is this going to be over?
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't look like there's any clear path of when it's going to be over, which is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, guys, that you guys can get these cards or get any of the new cards, because they're all really good from both sides. There's not one that I would say is necessarily better than the other. They're all good, especially if you're upgrading from, say, like two generations ago. These cards are great, but I just wish that, I wish you could get them on a more steady basis than driving to Fry's or driving to somewhere or paying so much more.
Can't drive to Fry's anymore.
Oh yeah, Fry's are closed. Yeah.
You can go to a Micro Center maybe.
Yeah, Micro Center, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I think you're right. You know, if you're two generations behind, maybe these make sense, but I would definitely not like go from my 2070 to a 3070 or 3080 right now at the prices they are. Like, it just
doesn't, oh no, not at the prices
at all are. For the performance, you look at the graphs, you know, and you're like, I'm good.
Yeah. So, well, we hope everybody can get, you know, like I said, that you don't get kind of royally screwed at the retailer for these. So definitely something to think about. But yeah, check out my review of the 6700 XT. Also, as I said, video on the channel. And then we talk about another new launch this week, and it's completely different product. It's this guy right here. I have. It's this guy.
Give it a couple clicks. Give it a couple.
Can you hear
that? Oh, you've got RTX voice on, so yeah, no, I can't.
Maybe. Can you hear it now? Maybe? No?
Barely.
Yeah. So yeah, it's Corsair finally made a 60% keyboard. 60%, I'll bring up the review so you guys can see it. 60% for a while was very much a enthusiast thing, not so much a gamer thing. It's more like an enthusiast, like mechanical keyboard enthusiast type thing. Mm-hmm. 60% is small. It's very small. You lose your, there's certain things that certain people just like need or always use, and you lose your dedicated arrow keys on this. You lose obviously a number pad if you're coming from a full size keyboard, and you lose your entire function row. And I always say that 60% is as low as you can go without losing total functionality. If you go below 60 and you're just starting to miss stuff that you might actually use. I like 60% because it's nice and small and compact, and it's just going to look nice on your desk. It's just, and it gives you just like every, like it gives you most things that you will need, I would say, put it that way. Corsair's implementation of their 60% is basically the same as almost every 60% keyboard out there. It is a plastic chassis, but it's pretty thick plastic. I'm not going to say that it's great by any means. I don't think any of them are, unless you go the aluminum route, which there are 60% keyboards that have an aluminum casing, but they're very expensive, where this isn't as expensive. Plastic casing. The only thing I don't like about it is, as we look at this picture from the side, there's no height adjustment. So it just sits at this angle.
I wonder why they went with that and didn't do a height adjustment.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I have seen a lot of mechanical keyboards, especially ones that aren't gaming keyboards, that do not offer a height adjustment. Right. Like the IQNX F96 that I have right here. It does not have a height adjustment either. So no height adjustments. Pretty much the only thing I don't like about this. They have Cherry MX key switches. We received the one that had the red key switches. They offer it in speed and silent switches as well. So those are the three that they're going to offer with this. PBT, double shot PBT keycaps. If you have never used a keyboard with PBT keycaps, it's like night and day. I won't ever use a keyboard on a daily basis that has ABS keycaps. I just won't, because typing, it's just such a different experience. Like, just the feel is so different and so much better. On top of that, PBT keycaps you won't see like the shine that you get on your keyboard, like from the oils from your body transferring to the keys, and you look at your keyboard and it just looks oily and messy and you have to clean it all the time. It doesn't happen with PBT keycaps. As you can see, nice and thick. Again, double shot, so two mold injections, not just one. You have the inner one and the outer one that you guys can see there. So you have that on this keyboard. Also, you have legends on the front of a bunch of the keycaps, so you can do alternate functions, because again, you are losing out on a bunch of stuff. Like, you can see your arrow keys are there. You're missing out on a bunch of stuff. Beyond that, this features their Axion processor, the same one that was in their K100 full size keyboard that gives you 8,000 hertz hyper pulling. Not a huge deal, but it's there. USB Type-C right in the center. The cable does come with it. You do get a small Corsair logo over there. That is basically it. It's a very basic keyboard. And I know a lot of people were talking about like, oh, Corsair didn't do enough. I think when it comes to 60%, you don't want like extra stuff.
Right. Like, you want a wide frame around there. You want it compact.
Yeah. And it's very compact. It's just what it needs to do. They did do the keyboard or the space bar.
Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I like, now, didn't it come with, did it come it came with a different one, yeah. right?
It came with a plain one, one that's all plain.
I like the look of that so much more.
I like
this. I just can't get past it. I don't know.
When you get to the RGB lighting, this is per key RGB lighting. Of course, works with IQ, and we have the new version of IQ, which I cover in my video. So if you guys want to check it out, but there is a new version of IQ that looks a little different. With IQ, you can, of course, reprogram the keyboard completely. Every key on the keyboard can be fully reprogrammed. You can do macros. You can do all kinds of stuff. It's all software-based. You can do it very easily. There's also hardware and software settings. So you can save all of your key bindings as well as RGB effects on the keyboard itself. And then when you plug it into somebody else's computer that doesn't have IQ, you can just be good to go. Or you can do all your stuff in IQ, uninstall IQ, and then all your settings will be on the keyboard if you didn't want to use IQ. So I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with IQ. I think it does its job. It's not the craziest software when it comes to like gaming specific stuff.
I like it.
But yeah, it makes it easy enough to reprogram and to do all your lighting how you want it. And if you are in like the Corsair ecosystem, you can link all your stuff together so they all have the same effect and you can do all that kind of stuff. As far as the RGB lighting, it's good. It's nice. Here, I'll scroll through some pictures. There's that space bar that I was talking about.
I'd like to see it in person because it has that white underlay underneath all the keys, right?
Yeah.
So did you find that it made it glow more or just show the lighting a little more?
It made it so it was more even.
Okay.
So it's like it's not necessarily a diffuser because the lights are on top of it.
Yep.
But it just evens out the light more, so you have like a more even
glow. It's like, yeah, I have the K65 right here in front of me, and it, you know, it doesn't look as spread out and is, yeah, diffused, I guess you could say, even though it's not light coming through there. So
yeah. So I think this is a good keyboard. It has what you want. If they wouldn't have put PBT keycaps on this, I would not be a fan. I think that, again, we're coming from this is more an enthusiast-based product. Enthusiast meaning like mechanical keyboard enthusiast, not so much a gamer product. And you want PBT keycaps. You want mechanical key switches. I was actually kind of surprised they didn't have an optical option because that's a lot of the companies are moving to optical.
Right now,
yeah. They might maybe come out with one later. I don't know. But overall, I think it's a good keyboard. It's priced at $109. I've seen a lot of people complain about that price. For me, I don't see it as a bad price for it. I just don't. Razer came out with a 60% keyboard recently. That keyboard's $100. A Ducky 1-2 Mini is around $100. A nice AnyPro 2, I mean nice, the ones that you can get with Cherry MX switches and PBT keycaps are $100. So I think that it's priced fine. We were talking before the podcast even started. I thought it was going to be like, well, I thought they were going to price it like $139, which would have been way more expensive than what it really should be. I think $109 is fair, just for the fact that, again, yes, like it's plastic. I get it. Like this is plastic. It's a heavy plastic, but like, the Ducky 1-2 Mini is also plastic. I believe the AnyPro 2 is also plastic, and the Razer Huntsman Mini is also plastic. They're all plastic. For that price, you're not going to get an aluminum frame. Like, you're just not. Like, this keyboard, it's a full-size keyboard, but this keyboard's like $300 because it's aluminum. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... I mean, Corsair could do all aluminum, and then this would be like $200. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but I think that where people get confused is that, one, you have true Cherry MX key switches. All of these other ones that you'll find on Amazon or anywhere else, even like the AnyPro 2, you can get versions of the AnyPro 2 that are cheaper, that are like $70, but they come with Gateron switches, or Kale switches, or any of the other switches. I think Gaterons are better than Kales, but they're still not as good as Cherry MX. And if you use as many keyboards that as I've used, and I've used pretty much all the switches, including Razer switches as well, and all the other ones, Cherry MX switches feel better. For me, they feel better. That's my opinion. But you're getting true Cherry MX key switches. You're also getting double shot PBT keycaps, most under $100, 60% keyboards.
Yeah, you're getting ABS.
Yeah, you're going to get ABS, or you're going to get PBT, but they're not going to be double shot, and they're going to feel almost like ABS. They're not going to be as good still. Finally, you get the software, and the software is a big deal, at least for me, because I have a Ducky One Too Many, and I'm not programming that thing.
No,
like, nobody, yeah. On the keyboard itself, like, I'm not programming it. It's just, especially if you're a gamer, and that's the big thing, because if you're a gamer, you're doing macros, right? You're playing WoW, and you're putting in all your stuff, and, you know, try to do that on the fly, and think, like, you don't know if it actually works correctly, or you have the timing down, and you need, like, you know, with software, you can do time between each keystroke, you can do all the stuff that you need to do much easier. So yeah, that's why I think it's, those three things are the reason why I think that it's priced fine for me, you know, compared to what's out there, it's priced good. So that's my opinion on it, but I like it. I'm glad that we finally got down to 60% from a, you know, again, Razer did it. They were the first kind of like gaming company to really do it. I don't think, like, who are the big game, like Razer, HyperX. HyperX did do the Ducky One Too Many, but it was basically a Ducky keyboard. So, like Thermal
Tank, did what, like a
60%. I don't think there's. I don't know. If
Logitech hasn't done one, have they? Not that I can think of.
Yeah. So,
plenty of 10 key lists out there, but not the 60.
Yeah.
From the 60% major gaming brands.
Yeah. So. I like it. People said it's too late or whatever, but I think it's decent for what it is. And if you're in the Corsair ecosystem, you have like Corsair headset or any Corsair internal components, you'll be really familiar with IQ and you'll be good to go. So, so Old Man said in the chat, he said, I've seen some posts about people buying gaming laptops because they can't get a new GPU. Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And I've seen people buy, wait, Old Man, were you the person or was that Derek? The person that bought a pre-build just to get the GPU. Well, just basically just to get the GPU.
Yeah, somebody was talking about that recently in chat.
Yeah, because same thing. Like the prices aren't in the pre-builds. The prices aren't like insane. You know what I mean? So people are basically paying the same price for a pre-build as they would like a scalped graphics card. So now they have a full brand new system for around the same price. It's like kind of messed up. But yeah, we've seen people, I know people too, they're just getting a gaming laptop because they don't want to wait around for a GPU to become available to build a system. It's kind of the way it is. So those are our reviews for the week. I also did a video on the keyboard. So if you want to know more about it, again, it's on YouTube. So go ahead and check that out.
He said that was him. He bought a pre-built to get a 3080.
Yeah. Smart. Especially now, like, you might think like, oh, that was like dumb. You spent extra money, but like, if you think about it now,
no, you bought a video card and got all these components you could sell if you wanted.
Yeah. So, and again, with the way that the market is now, he could have either one been waiting, or two, paid more and just got the graphics card.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and do we have a build for you? I really like this one. I really, really like this one. This is like, so every year we do like our best builds of the year, and I think this is going to be a contender for a lot of reasons. A lot of it for me is because a lot of this is custom built. So this is from Explore Modding. Check him out. You can follow him on it. We follow him on Instagram, but he just finished this recently. It's called Project Ares. It just won best tower of the year and best overall design in Cooler Masters Case Mod World Series. I'll go through the pictures. It's kind of like this, what would you call this, like futuristic spacey type?
It reminds me of like, almost it kind of brings me back to like some of the Apex Legends like skins look, you know, how they're like a futuristic but steampunk, not steampunk isn't the right word, but like, I don't know, some form of future look to them.
And I it also reminds the color,
all these the colors, the greenish blue, the turquoise and the copper looks great. It The windows, though, like all the rivets remind me of what case windows used to be like, right? With an acrylic panel just like riveted to the side of a case is kind of reminds me of, but I think it looks cool.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this one, the design's amazing. One of my favorite things, and it's hard to see them, is these are like actually like circular windows. You can't really tell.
It's those Bits Power hexagon shaped.
But like you see that? Yeah, but they're inside.
Oh,
like
and then the bowl. But yeah, I didn't see that.
That is like just little things like that. Just like make you know, because it just makes the whole theme of the case. It's all done well. It's very artistic. Like even the top of the case with these like circular it's just the paint job's amazing. It's all done so well. But then I was like, oh, I'll check out his video. So we'll check out the video here. And do you see that the inside moves?
I didn't watch the video. No. Yeah. Oh my god!
How cool is that? Like how
it's water cooled. So what sort of did they show like how they?
I think there's a single thing that goes into the center. We'll go back to the pictures here in a second.
Okay.
I'm gonna go through. Here,
And I like that starry look to the front, like you're looking into space.
Yeah, cool. And that's custom made. So he made that. Okay. So I've been following this build on Instagram, and see that port right there? I don't know how he does it. That goes into
this and that piece circular... rotated with it, right? I guess have some sort.
Yeah, but this was all custom made. This front part, which is just amazing.
It's supposed to look like it's floating there. Is that why those movements weird?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But in any case, I think this is just all, like I said, all just so well done. And a lot of it's all custom made, which I love. And the fact that, again, that centerpiece does.
Now that I look at the main picture for the article again.
Yeah.
It makes me think this thing is enormous.
Oh, that's a normal size case.
It's like the Cosmos.
Yeah.
Or the CM700,
So this must be where the cables come out, like these. And then these are the water cooling ports right here, again over here. That have to go to these center things.
I wonder if it can only like rotate a certain amount, because you could have like hidden in the back some soft tubing that is flexing with it, you know, and allows it to
possibly.
Rotate.
I just think it's cool.
Otherwise, it's got to take some pretty complex channels and stuff in order to like have liquid flowing through it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Like I said, I think it's really cool. It's just, I don't know. This one just kind of just really did it for me. So go ahead and check it out. Again, it's from Explore Modding. He did this as part of the Case Mod World Series 2020. Go ahead and check that out. We also have our contest going on, new week, so new prize. We just gave away the Lexar SL200. This week we have some more memory up for grabs. We have the Giel Orion DDR4 3600 16 gigabyte memory kit. These are specifically made for AMD. I'm pretty sure that's just branding, but they're 3600 megahertz for the 5000 series processors, but you could use these on Intel, obviously. Super easy to get your entry in. Again, these only run for 1 week. Just go to thinkcomputers.org/moving. All these contests is because I'm moving and I'm just trying to get rid of hardware. So super easy to enter. We do it on Gleam, and go ahead and get your entry in. Old Man says, it reminds me of the Outer Worlds game. Yeah, it kind of does. I've never played that game, but I've seen like video and stuff of it. Yeah, it kind of would remind, like the build kind of does remind me of that. So yeah, very cool stuff there. And that brings us to the first news story is kind of funny.
It's hilarious. It's kind of funny.
So when the 3060 came out, one of the big stories was that you couldn't mine with it. And the whole reason NVIDIA did this is to stop miners from buying it, so more cards would be available to consumers.
And plus, they were coming out with their own, you know, crypto card. So makes sense.
Yeah, they're also coming out with their own crypto cards. So again, it makes sense. Last week we talked about it, and I said I don't like somebody limiting what I can and cannot do.
Right.
Yeah. And NVIDIA specifically said that it's a handshake between the actual GPU and the BIOS, and you can't just override it by getting a hacked BIOS or, you know, whatever. You can't just get a new driver that disables it, right? They said that specifically. Like that was a quote from NVIDIA. They said this specifically. Well, NVIDIA's new drivers came out, which were, I don't know which ones, but NVIDIA's, like, this is an official NVIDIA driver came out, and that driver from NVIDIA disables the hash rate limiter on it.
Whoops.
I don't remember.
Oh, I thought this was so complex. I just hit install, and now it works. Like,
one, this shows that it's software.
Yeah,
and it's the driver of the BIOS. It's not hardware. It's not baked into the hardware. So one, you're gonna find, like, if they reverse this again with a new driver update, you're gonna see.
Yeah, it won't matter because people figure out a way to.
Yeah.
To do it again.
Yeah. So that's just hilarious. This is almost as bad as saying the 4 gig was 3.5, or the 3.5 gig was 4 gig.
Yeah.
On the, was that the 970?
970. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny because they made this big deal about it and said, oh no, you're never going to be able to do it. And then they released a driver update that basically does it. It's kind of funny. Yeah. So,
but it's like, if they're like, so easily lying to you about this, and I don't know if I want to call it a lie, right? But I mean, it is, like, maybe it was, you know, like, what else are they lying about or like being shady about, you know?
And again, I this whole thing is like a ploy for people to buy their crypto cards, or
I guess, or to make, you know, to gain the trust of the gamers and enthusiasts and say, hey, we're going to do something, you know, to help you guys out to try and get more cards into your hands. Right.
Yeah.
But lying about how you're doing it, and I don't know, that's kind of lose some consumer trust, I think.
That's interesting to say at least. So I haven't read up if they're going to reverse it back.
I know they changed the driver already. But it's available out there. You can get it still.
Yeah.
Not directly from them, but.
That's crazy to me. Guess I'll have to load this driver on the 230-60s I have and get mining over here.
Get mining.
Yeah. So talking about mining, we got a glimpse. I know there was another one actually just today from Zotac, but we did see the one from Asus, but that was like, I don't know if that was not official, but we got these are renders, but it looks like Gigabyte, like, their first mining card was, this says pictured, but these are renders, but you know, the CMP30HX, they're going to use their, what is this called? Their WinForce 2 cooler. It looks like the older version. It doesn't look like the newest version of the WinForce cooler, but
I don't think it looks really, like, why do they even spend the time to make a shroud like that? Make it as industrial and function. They probably got a bunch of them laying around.
Yeah, they have a ton
of
them.
That's true.
Or they have the mold already. Like, I'm sure when you get these made, like, you go to a factory and be like, okay, make this mold for me, you know, and they already have the mold. It's all ready to go. So they just make them. But as you can see, obviously no connections on these. I don't, you know, we talked about this so many times. It's like, I just don't see miners buying these cards because there's no resale value on them unless you're a miner. And by the time you're selling them,
they're not efficient.
Yeah, they're not efficient. The only way I'd mine these, if crypto went like crazy, like
you just needed anything that could mine efficiently for that time. Yeah.
Say like Ethereum, I don't know what it's at now, but like it was around like what, 1500, 1600. Like say like Ethereum went to like 30 or 40, maybe buy these cards just to like,
you know, it's at 1800.
Yeah, it's at 18. Like, yeah. So it's like if it went to like 30, then I could see people buying these cards, but I just don't see it. Again, maybe if they're available, yeah, but like if you have a choice between this and a 3070 or whatever, I mean, you'd buy the 3070,
right,
if they were available.
Dual function, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, interesting. So we'll keep you guys updated, and we'll see how those sell. I guess we'll figure it out. But another new mobile GPU, we're just talking about laptops with mobile GPUs. A new one has been, a new GeForce SKU has been spotted, RTX 3050, which is something that we haven't heard of before. So this is going to be in laptops. It was spotted in the specs of Asus's TUF Dash F15. One of the configurations was GeForce 3050 Ti, 4 gigabytes of GDDR6 on this one. So this is going to be their lower end. Now, it is interesting because they're not, these are all, one, they're all being called RTX. Two is that there's no, like, you know, after you went to the 3060, you didn't go to like 2660 or 20, you know, like they did
when, previously. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm thankful for that, right? That just made things so much more confusing. You're like, wait, you went back to the 1000 series, but it's a current card. And
yeah,
no, I would rather them just stick with the 30 series. And
based on its naming, we would assume this is going to replace the what was it, the 1050 Ti that was still being used, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Like I said, one thing that a lot of people don't like, if you have a dedicated GPU, even though this is not going to be like insanely powerful, you could do a lot with it compared to this is with an Intel core. Yeah, like compared to like the onboard on these, be a lot better for a lot of things, not just gaming. So yeah, cool to see. Obviously, we'll keep you updated when we have more specs on it. But, you know, it's they said 16 compute units, 128 CUDA cores, or 100 each streaming multiprocessor will have 128 CUDA cores, giving you 2048 CUDA cores. As I said, 4 gigabytes of GDDR6. So again, it's not crazy, but it will definitely, like, 1080p. Yeah,
better than integrated.
Yeah, 10 times better than integrated. So a lot of 1080p gaming with this. So yeah, be very cool to see that. And what else do we have? So talking about cryptocurrency, we should have talked about this actually before the other one, but MSI is advertising mining potential on their product page.
Feels like we've seen a lot of companies almost shy away from that a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Especially on a product like this.
Yeah, so MSI has it is their GE76 Raider laptop. Also, MSI gaming laptops are really good if you guys are in the market for I've seen them for years and they've always been really good, but I don't think they get like the credit as much as like an Asus or something like that, but they're really good. But in any case, yeah, they like advertise, like in their blog, they advertise the hash rates of the laptop as a thing. Like, how crazy is that?
I mean, we've seen the pictures, right, of racks of laptops, you know, when they became available, and you're just like, man, they'll do anything to like get some more chips online to start grinding away at currency. But it's, yeah, like I said, it's kind of funny that I don't feel like we see that too often, or maybe this might even be the first time in a product, especially like a laptop like this, that hey, and it'll mine cryptocurrency if you want.
Yeah.
I wonder how that plays into their warranty, because, you know, like thermals on laptops are usually pretty, you know, they've got to make, they're within a lot of tight clearances with cooling and everything. Like, if you're just running that thing 24/7, how's that play into your support and warranty?
It's interesting. I don't know if how you could prove that you weren't like that, right? How they could prove that you were mining on the card, be like, oh, it's just gaming, and
just gaming.
Yeah. So yeah, that's like I said, mining has become, it's killing on the GPU industry, that's for sure. The other big launch this week, which we all expected, It is a paper launch. You can't buy these yet till the 30th. But Intel officially, you call a launch, again, it's paper launch, because mm-hmm. there's no, you can't buy these yet. You can pre-order them, though. You can, most of the sites I checked, the 11900K is sold out, but they officially announced or launched their 11th generation Rocket Lake S processors. We've been talking about these for months. I kind of like the box of this Core i9. That's all different.
It's kind of neat, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little jaggedy. I don't know. So the flagship, of course, is the Core i9-11900K. Up to 5.3 gigahertz boost on that. Like I said, I'm excited for these. We talked about it. They said 19% gen over gen IPC performance, 50% better integrated graphics performance. These will feature Intel X graphics architecture. So that's new, obviously, built from the ground up. So that should be interesting to see that. But yeah,
cool. Yeah, I mean, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, we knew it was coming.
Paper launch, you can't get them.
Yeah, you can't get them. I was gonna, I thought about pre-ordering one, but I was like, I don't know which one I want to get. And then, like, I wanted the i9, but it was sold, like, on Newegg, it was sold out already,
just gone right away.
Yeah, so it was like, I could have got the i7, but I was like, I don't know, I should probably order one if I still can. But yeah, so. All the specs are online. You guys can check it out. What do you think of the new norm, like the new branding with these boxes and like the, you know,
it's a lot less like, it feels very businessy. Like it doesn't feel like a component that somebody's going to pull out of this box and put into a computer. It almost looks like a Microsoft Office product.
I do feel that these boxes, at least like the i9 box, it does make the, what was the 9900K in?
The hexagon or the...
Yeah, it makes the hexagon feel dated, if you just think about it.
Oh, you think so? I liked that.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I'm not saying I didn't like it, but it just makes it feel dated. Hmm. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel... Look at our generic CPU is how it feels to me.
Yeah, I can't tell because this might just be the lighting in the photo, but it's like the i5, just like the shades of blue. Like this is,
are they a little different? Is it lighter than the?
This is lighter. This is slightly darker, and this is like almost purple.
I think the i9's purple for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if the 5 and 7 are the same color, just light hitting it a little different.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Looks like a cool build behind there, though. I wonder if it's, you know, obviously probably has an 11th gen in there. Possibly. Looks like an 11.
This is like the Intel official photo, so I would hope that it would be an
Intel. Like, find a white and blue build.
Be like, oh, wait, that's like an AMD in there. Yeah. And it's like, you know,
that'd be fun. Yeah.
I will be getting one of these. I don't know which one I'm going to get, but I'll get one. So, because we have a bunch of Z590 boards to test. So,
cool.
We'll see which ones I decide to get. Also very funny. So AMD's Ryzen 3 5300G APU, which is not announced yet or out, is on eBay. It's their engineering sample. Just ended up on eBay for some reason. Don't know who got this engineering sample. Obviously, they have the serial numbers taken out, so AMD doesn't know whose this is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's there. It's on. It was on eBay. It's probably gone now. But that's kind of funny. Not even an announced processor just shows up on eBay.
Shows up. Yeah. And like, why are you getting rid of it already?
Yeah, and it's not like you're making a ton of money. Like these don't sell. Like I mean, this is like an APU, quad core APU at that. It's, you know. So yeah, that's kind of funny. So, and our last little piece of news is, it's pretty cool, actually. I didn't know about this issue because I don't play GTA Online. But apparently on GTA Online, it would take forever to load. Like the game would just take a long time to load. And I'm sure if you've like went from a standard hard drive to an SSD, like, you know about load times. Like, I remember, I think it was Battlefield 5 when it first came out. Like, I loaded it, like, when it first came out, which was a while ago. Like, I loaded it, I think one of the test systems, that I think that's what it was. One of the test systems I had like a normal hard drive, and every time I went to benchmark Battlefield 5, it would take forever to load, and I'd like walk away and have to come back. And then I finally upgraded the test systems to SSDs, and it was like,
whew, night and day.
Night and day. So game loading just sucks. It's just like, it's one of the worst things. Typically now, if you're on an SSD or even an NVMe drive, you really don't have to deal with it much anymore, unless your game is badly coded. GTA Online seemed to be badly coded.
Badly coded, yeah.
And a GTA Online modder, his name's Toast, discovered code that actually made the code that was causing it. And this is like not just in his case, like this was for all of GTA Online, which I assume is pretty big. GTA is one of the biggest games ever, and the online version, I assume a ton of people play it, and it's just annoying to wait for it. It's like one of those things, like I said, you load it up and walk away, go make some food and come back, and by the time it's back, you're done loading. So this guy found the thing, made a fix, and now Rockstar is adding that fix to the game. They've given him 10 grand and they put like his name in the credits. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
I
it's pretty funny. They could figure it out. Or maybe they just didn't care to fix it.
You know? I think Rockstar's working on the next one.
Right. They're like, you know what? This game's been out for 10 How years.
Long? Yeah.
Forever. It's been out
for forever.
Yeah.
And they continually update the online version for whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never done the online, but
I've done it like one time when it first ported over to PC. And that was it.
Yeah, and old man said he's amazed Rockstar updated the fix for their load times. I thought they would just ignore it. It's been problems since launch. They didn't do it. This person did. This person found out. I was like, when I first heard of this story, I was like, yeah, they probably just like claimed that like whatever he did is like their property and they didn't give him anything, which you could see a company doing, right?
Oh yeah.
But it's kind of nice they gave him 10 grand and they said, you know, like, good job.
Yeah,
I guess. Cool. Okay, you know, so that's pretty cool. So if you're a GTA Online person, you won't have to get
some quicker load times.
Yeah. Yeah. All thanks to somebody who independently found it, which I think is a pretty cool story. So that is our news for the week. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I have two pretty cool products. The first one is a case. This is a big boy case. Well, it's not super big boy case, but it's a pretty big case. This is the Thermaltake View 51 Tempered Glass ARGB edition. Comes with these massive...
That's a big case, yeah.
I think these are 200 millimeter fans in the front. Like, it's a big, you know. And the tempered glass, I think, is... It's big. Like, it's a heavy, big, heavy case. Like, a big. I believe it comes with the front two I know come, and I think the back fans come as well. Just a big boy case. It's meant for showing off your build, as you can see. So I will be taking a look at that. And then also I'm taking a look at a monitor. So Gigabyte's G27Q. This is a 1440p monitor. Again, perfect for that RX 6700 XT that I reviewed. This is no curve, just like it's a 165 or 100. I'm pretty sure it's 165 hertz. It could be wrong. 144 hertz. 100 and where is that?
44.
Why down. Can't I see it? Oh, there it is. Yeah, 144 hertz. So this is 144 hertz gaming monitor.
27 inch.
Yep. Yeah, 27 inch. So yeah, I'm excited to take a look at that as well.
It's not G-Sync, is it? It's
It's FreeSync. It's
FreeSync.
AMD FreeSync
Premium. Adaptive Sync. Yeah.
What's
FreeSync the premium app? I don't know.
Yeah. 1 millisecond response time, all that kind of fun stuff. So, this will be the second Gigabyte monitor that I've reviewed. I think I was actually really impressed with the first one. So,
So FreeSync Premium adds to the baseline FreeSync and equips with at least 120 hertz refresh rate and a minimum full HD resolution, supports for low frame rate compensation and low latency. So I think really it's just like FreeSync can go all the way down, I think, to 60 hertz or 75 maybe. Like the monitor I have, the secondary monitor over here, was one that supported it. I know it's like a, it's a 75 hertz monitor is all. So I think like Premium, their minimum is 120 on the refresh rate.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then we also have, we've been talking about it, we've been talking about it for a few weeks now. Yeah. Ryan's water cooling build video, finally done. I got to watch it. It's really good. You get a close up of Ryan's face, which is really good. But it goes through his water cooling build in the new case, the case that I had sent him, which is the NWin925. Ryan, yep. And you can tell us a little bit about it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, same overall components of the build. None of the hardware, the PC hardware changed at all. But the first build video, you know, it's a full AlphaCool cooling setup, number one. So when they sent us everything for the custom build we did a while back, they sent us hardware for both soft tubing and hard tubing. So we did the soft tube build a while back, ran that for a while, and then upgraded it to a hardline kit with the 16 millimeter outer diameter tubing and all the fittings to go along with that. So yeah, we moved it over to the NWin925, went with a vertical GPU placement this time around, dual 360s now, instead of a 360 and a 240. So that's good. When will we get to watch? I'm not sure when that's going up.
Yeah, Kosher Tech's in the house. He has, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to come out on Monday by my. Either it's going to come out over the weekend or it's going to be on Monday. So definitely stay tuned for that. It will be on the channel.
And I will say, like, the 925, that back panel, you know, you were saying like, it's kind of...
It's annoying.
And I was like... If you've seen the NWin925, you know, it's got these three fans on the back that are outside of the case. And in order to get to like your USB and video connections, you have to take that panel off. Like, this is NWin we're talking about. They make these crazy $10,000 cases that move and do all sorts of stuff. Could they have not figured out a way to have this hinged and like make some connectors so that all you had to do was like plug in two cables or make it hinge something to make it easier than it is? Because this is ridiculous. Yeah,
it's annoying, especially like I said, when I did my build, I had those three fans, and then you know, each fan has a power connection as well as an RGB connection. And if you're familiar with RGB, the, you know, the 4-pin or even 3-pin ARGB, like, they can come unplugged from, if you're daisy chaining them or whatever, like, they come unplugged so easy. It's just annoying to do that.
I ended up taping them all and put. Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. We'll have that video up next week. Sounds like.
Joseph is in the house. What's going on? Catching the end or coming to the end here of the podcast. I was trying to find a picture. I don't think I had a picture of like that. All the cables hanging off that back panel that you're talking about. But yeah, that's like, that's one of the, there's a couple things I didn't like about the case. And that was the main thing I didn't like about the case. The other thing is the big holes in the case.
Yes. And the, like the motherboard tray. Yeah, I think I'm still going to figure out a way to kind of clean that up.
Yeah, I mean, you could just paneling, like, but... yeah, you could easily put panels over that. That's like an easy fix, especially because if you just paint them black, you're good to go, like whatever it may be. So that brings us to the end here. We talk about any tech related things. You do any tech?
I mean, I bought that lens. I just bought a.
Yeah, that was today.
Canon EFM lens.
That was an hour ago.
Yeah, bought a 22 millimeter lens for the camera, so that'll be nice to have. Maybe you won't have to stare at my face quite as close in upcoming videos. I'll be excited to mess with that. I mean, it was $250 when I put it on the wish list, and I was like, I'll just leave it on the wish list. Yeah. And I hadn't looked at my list in a while. It was like 140, 149. I was like, okay.
I always like, anytime I see something I like, I put it in my cart, and then I put it on save for later. And like, if you like go through my save for later, it's like things from like years ago. I'm like,
yeah, I have all sorts of crazy. I'm like, I don't think I need that anymore. No, I'm good.
Or like, it's like cameras that I wish I would have bought, but then like I got another camera and the old camera's still on the like save for later or whatever. Yeah.
Yep. I don't think I've really done any. Did I bought some of those, like, you know, Pelican cases? I don't think I've talked about this yet. Have I?
No.
So, like, Pelican cases, you're familiar with them, like, for carrying electronics or cameras around, and you can, they have like the foam inside you can swap around. Well, if you're looking for like a cheaper alternative, Harbor Freight has a brand. And so I bought a couple of those recently. And I made one for like, so I made all these cutouts for my DJI Mavic Mini and like the controller and the phone that I use for it and the charger and batteries. And then right next to it can go like my Osmo Action, right? It can go in there with the charger and batteries. So like, it's just a rugged case instead of having to carry around the case for the drone and then the case for the camera. Yeah. It all just goes in there.
I'm rugged. A backpack guy though.
I need a backpack. For what I mean, I'll
if you're
somewhere where I'm going mobile, I'll put it in a backpack. Yeah. But for like the use that I'm using this stuff for right now, it makes sense to put it in this. So if you're looking for a cheap alternative.
I was just thinking of stuff to talk about because I really haven't done much besides make those videos and do reviews. I'm gonna be getting fiber. I'm pretty pumped about that. I got all this stuff figured out, like where I'm, you know, I'll be moving here in crazy less than a month. And you look at all the stuff I have to pack away behind me, which is not gonna be fun.
The pile of boxes hasn't gotten any smaller.
Yeah. When I'll be moving, so where I'm moving is so new that it has AT&T fiber, and I'll be getting like the top plan, which is 1,000 up and 1,000 down, and it's only $60, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that. So we should never have it. We shouldn't be my problem if we're ever lagging on this live stream coming up or gaming or whatever. It should just be smooth sailing. So I'm really excited for that. That's pretty much all my tech stuff.
I don't know what to do with all that bandwidth.
I don't know.
It's pretty sweet.
24/7 live stream of the office.
There you go.
I'm gonna be really excited. I'm like really excited to move. One, this off where I'm at now was only supposed to be temporary, so I haven't really had time to like. There's just like it. Literally, is just a desk area. I mean, you guys see it in my YouTube videos. Like, this is just the desk, and that's it. Like, I didn't. There's nothing on the wall. It's like, you know, so I'm really excited to, once I get there, get a plan and like set everything up and buy new furniture and do all kinds of, just like have it really be like a better office than what this is per se. So
Joseph says it's AT&T though. It's 1,000 kilobits per second, not megabits.
Oh, if that was the case, I don't know. Yeah. I was reading reviews of it. Cause like, because I had the option of AT&T or Cox, and Cox is obviously just like normal cable internet. And AT&T had good reviews, and it was, you know, so, that's pretty much it. So be coming down here to our Ruby couple of weeks, be our last podcast in this office, last live stream.
Yeah. Are we going to be able to do, let's see. Yeah. You're moving over a weekend in the beginning of a week. You think you're going to be able to do a live show that first Wednesday?
Probably not. So that Wednesday is when AT&T is coming.
Okay.
Which would be the 14th, I think, or 15th. I think it's the 15th they're coming. I don't remember. But they come the day after I move in. And gotcha. I mean, in order to do this podcast, I guess I could do it like from the laptop, but like I had to set everything up. You know, have my desk set. Like, there's a lot of things.
You're moving across country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Driving for multiple days in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. So, guys. So, we are going to be gaming over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go over there.
Fortnite season 6, right? Just dropped yesterday.
You're crazy. You are crazy. So we'll be playing Apex Legends like we do every week. Ryan is testing a new mouse that he's reviewing, so we'll see if that improves his gameplay. I think it will, because it's a lightweight gaming mouse. So I think he's gonna have better than he normally does. So head on over there, and thanks everybody for stopping by and hanging out with us. I know a lot of you guys came in late. Do you guys see, like, so we posted on social media, and like I posted on my personal social media. Do you not see that till later, or you guys just kind of just see that we're live and then jump in? Because I always wonder when I should post that, like if I should post it an hour before, because I usually post it like 10 or 15 minutes before, but I don't know. Well, you guys just let me, I guess, know in the chat if you guys just see it or you just jump on.
We may not be the number one priority for everybody, Bob.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we're the number one priority. I'm just saying that, like, you know, because it's like with like
when's a good reminder time?
Yeah, like with the Facebook algorithm, like, does it just pop up or do you see it on Twitter like 45 minutes later? Because if that's the case, then I'll do it way before than when I normally do it. That's all.
Sure.
So yeah. So I guess we will jump over to Twitch and play some games. I didn't buy any snacks at the store today. I should have done that. I want some snacks. So, all right, guys. We will. Yes, he was the ladder. Joseph said it. He said it was the ladder for me. So does that mean
Jeff says he just noticed the post in Discord a few minutes ago? So okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll do it like maybe next week we'll do it like a half an hour earlier instead of this week we did it 10 minutes before. So maybe next week we'll do it a half an hour before just to give you guys some time to pop in. So alrighty, guys. Well, if you want to stick with us, just head on over to Twitch and we'll see everybody next week.